الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى أصحابه وعلى جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We continue our series on Nubala Hawl Mustafa, the noble ones and on the chosen one, where we take anecdotes and inspirational aspects of the lives of great people who are in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And tonight we turn our attention to a companion by the name of Suhaib ibn Sinan. Now Suhaib is different from Shu'aib, by the way. Shu'aib is the prophet in the Quran, and of course in the Bible he's called Jethro. But it's not, his name wasn't Shu'aib, his name was Suhaib. Suhaib ibn Sinan. Suhaib was the son of a governor in an area which is now part of the city of Basra in Iraq. He was a son of the famous Sinan bin Malik. And Sinan was appointed by the Persian Emperor Hormuzd IV as the governor of Al-Ubulla. Ubulla is now part of what is now Basra. And Suhaib grew up in the house of dignitaries. He grew up in the house of the corridors of power. And he grew up in the lap of luxury and privilege. At the age of 5, while they were on a royal picnic, so to say, in the village of At-Tahani, in Iraq, he was with his mother and other siblings. They were captured by the Byzantine or the Greek soldiers. And these soldiers caused families to be split up, the property was seized, and prisoners were taken. Suhaib ended up at the slave market of the Byzantines in Constantinople, what is now called Istanbul in Turkey. So the son of a governor, living in lap of luxury, ended up a slave in a foreign country in what is now Turkey or Constantinople, Istanbul. He spent most of his youth in what was Greek controlled, not what is Greece now, but Greek controlled lands. And therefore, he was able to speak Persian, which was his own language, Greek, as well as Roman, and of course eventually also Arabic. Suhaib radiallahu anhu detested his bondage, and when he was able to secure a passage to Arabia where there was trade and so on, he escaped with one of the traders and was able to go to Arabia, and he ended up in the city of Makkah. In Makkah, he became a very notable person, and he was a Khalif, you know, a person, he had the sponsorship of a person called Abdullah ibn Jundan. Abdullah ibn Jundan was a very influential man at the time in Makkah as well. He was called Suhaib al-Rumi because he could speak a Roman language. He was very fair in complexion, he looked European, so they called him Suhaib the Roman. That's why he's known as Suhaib al-Rumi. Suhaib engaged in trade and became quite prosperous, alhamdulillah. On returning to Makkah from one of these trading journeys, Suhaib was informed by people, among them was Yasir. Remember the first family, Ammar bin Yasir, the first family to embrace Islam? He was informed by Yasir that there is this Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, who's part of the family of the Quraysh who are ruling Makkah, who are in power in Makkah. He's calling towards a new faith. He's calling people to believe in one God. He's commanding them to be just and to do good deeds, and prohibit them from all form of shamefulness and make them aware of the accountability in the hereafter. So he inquired who this Muhammad was, and he was told he could meet this Prophet Muhammad, or Muhammad ibn Abdullah, at the house of Arqam ibn Arqam. And history documents that Ammar bin Yasir was going, and Yasir, the father, was going to listen to the Prophet in the secret house of Arqam ibn Arqam. Suhaib was there together, and therefore some people say they embraced Islam together with the family of Ammar and Yasir. He says, فَدَخَلْنَا عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ فَعَرَضْنَا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فَأَسْلَمْنَا. He said, we went to the Prophet Muhammad, and we were explained or expounded to us about Islam, and we were convinced by his message, and then we embraced the faith. He was one of the 7 people who declared themselves Muslims openly in Mecca, and they were among with Bilal, with the family of Yasir. He was one of those people who was dressed in armor by the Quraysh leaders and left to burn in the sun. So when the people eventually migrated to Medina, eventually Suhaib also decided to migrate. So he was to stay behind, and remember Rasulullah went. He left Sayyidina Ali behind, he slept in the bed, Rasulullah went, Sayyidina Abu Bakr was with him. So the Quranic verse, the second one of the two was Rasulullah and Sayyidina Abu Bakr. Historian says, كَانَ الْمَفْرُوضُ أَنْ يَكُونُ ثَالِثَ ثَلَاثَ هُمْ الرَّسُولُ وَأَبُو بَكْرُ وَصُحِيبُ. He would have been the thalith of the three, he would have been the third of the three. But because of his powerful trade links, and because of his wealth, and because of his connections, the Meccans didn't allow him to leave. So he would have been with Rasulullah and Abu Bakr as part of those, the three people who left. Due to the fact that he was very profitable in his trade, he was extremely harassed, and eventually he was prepared to leave. He in fact had escaped, they caught him and they said to him, أتيتنا فقيرا فكثر ما لك عندنا وبلغت بيننا ما بلغت والآن تنطلق بنفسك وبمالك. He said, you came here poor, then you amassed wealth, you became rich, and you reached the status which you have reached now because of being with us, and now you're cutting yourself off from us by yourself and your wealth. Nonetheless, they allowed him to migrate on condition that he left everything that he had behind, all his business, everything behind. Now this is Suhaib, and this is a very important lesson to look at, the price sometimes people pay. Suhaib was taken from his wealthy parents at the age of 5 with nothing. He never saw his parents again. He left Byzantine with nothing. He arrived in Mecca with nothing, and now he had to leave Mecca for Medina with nothing. And he entered Medina with nothing. And when Suhaib came to Quba near Medina, the Rasul welcomed him and said, Rabih al-Bay' Aba Yahya, you know, you have made a profitable deal, O father of Yahya. And the following verse revealed, and the Rasul read this verse to him, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتَرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Among people, there are those type of people. Among people, there are those type of people who give everything of their life to earn the pleasure of Allah, and Allah is most kind to His servants. In Medina, he was among the Ashab al-Sufa. These were companions who spent most of their time, or part of their time, or particular portion of the day in a raised platform. It is still there. I hope it's still there. It was there a few years ago, near the Qabr of the Rasul, which I also hope is still there. And he said the Ashab al-Sufa, the people who were specifically acquiring knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and dedicating themselves to the understanding of the faith, and if they had to go somewhere, they were the ones who were sent to teach the faith. So he joined Rasulullah on all conquests. He was also the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, and Khandaq. And he said, and I don't wish to quote the Arabic right now, but he said, whenever Allah's Prophet went to war, or whenever he was attacked, I was with him. In every pledge, I was present. In every squadron, I was with him. In any conquest, whether the earliest or later ones, I was either on his right or on his left. Whenever the Muslim feared the enemy attacking from the front, I would go to the front. Whenever there was a rear attack, I would go to the back. I would protect them and protect the Prophet. Never did an enemy challenge the Prophet, but I came between him and the enemy. This, he said, حتى لخي ربه, until the Prophet met his Lord. He was also known for his wit. Khalif Umar, when he was at that time the Khalif, was a dear friend of Suhaib. And once he told Suhaib, Ya Suhaib, I fear that you give so much charity that, you know, you are bordering on extravagance with your charity. You're giving so much charity that it's extravagant. And Suhaib responded, لَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَقُولُ خِيَارُكُمْ مَنْ أَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامِ. He said, I heard the Rasul said, the best of you are those who feed the poor. Suhaib had a great wit. And not only with Sayyidina Umar and so on, but even with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's an incident, and this also indicates the light-hearted moments that there was between the Prophet and the people. And he had an infection in the eye, and he was busy eating dates. So the Rasul said, أَتَأْكُلُ الرُّطُبْ وَفِي عَيْنَكَ رَمَدْ. He said, are you eating dates and you have an ailing eye? So Suhaib responded wittily, وَأَيُّ بَأْسٍ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَنِّي أَكُلُ بِعَيْنِ بِعَيْنِ الْأُخْرَى. He said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He says, no problem, O Prophet Allah, my other eye is okay. The very famous hadith, which we quote normally, Rasul said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّ خَيْرٍ إِنْ أَصَابَتُ سَرَّا شَكْنَ فَكَانَ خَيْرُ اللَّهِ. How remarkable is the case of a believer. There's always some good lesson to be learned for a believer. If he goes through hardship, he patiently perseveres, and patience is good for him. And when you go through good times, you are elated and thankful, and thankfulness is good. This hadith was in Sahih Muslim. It is narrated by Suhaib ibn Sinan. But look at this life. Suhaib ibn Sinan, Suhaib al-Rumi, son of a governor, then a slave in the Byzantine Empire, who went to embrace Islam in Mecca. He worked his way to financial prosperity. And in the process, he never became materialistic. He was renowned for caring for the poor and the needy. He became an esteemed companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a revered member of the early group of Muslims. Suhaib ibn Sinan, or Suhaib al-Rumi, or Abu Yahya, died at the age of 75, in the 58th year after Hijrah. He lies buried in Baqi Cemetery near the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From here again we see how he appreciated those who are around the Prophet, not a monolithic group of people, but a wide variety of people from differing backgrounds. But not only that, he was also a multilingual person who could speak many languages and who had a variety of skills, their own experiences, their own hardships, their own privileges. And all that was brought to bear when they engaged the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why when we hear the hadith, when the Rasul speaks to people about something, and he says to people, As-sabru nisful iman, At-tahuru shatrul iman, you must remember you are speaking not to a group of people who are all the same. They were different. And different things meant different things to different people. But the message was nonetheless the same. And through them, alhamdulillah, we have received the Islam we have. May Allah be pleased them, and may Allah grant Suhaib ibn Sinan the highest place in paradise. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.